Call it an employee.
Employee? What kind of job could it possibly do?
Huh? Walk into the slaughterhouse every day. That's its job. Look, you've got a pen full of frightened animals, right? And they're milling around and leaderless. And there's this ramp into the building, looks very scary. And hey, there's this goat. It's not scared, and so the flock follows it, and... Angua made a throat-slitting noise. Only the goat walks out.
That's horrible.
I suppose it makes sense from the goat's point of view. At least it does walk out, said Angua.
How did you know about all this?
Oh, you pick up all sorts of odds and ends of stuff in the watch.
I've got a lot to learn, I can see, said Cheery. I never thought you had to carry bits of blanket for a start.
It's special equipment if you're dealing with the undead.
Well, I knew about garlic and vampires. Anything holy works on vampires. What else works on werewolves?
Sorry, said Angua, who was still thinking about the golem.
I've got a silver mail vest which I promised my family I'd wear, but is anything else good for werewolves?
A gin and tonic's always welcome, said Angua distantly.
Angua?
Hmm? Yes, what?
Someone told me there was a werewolf in the watch. I can't believe that.
Angua stopped and stared down at her.
I mean, sooner or later, the wolf comes through, said Cheery. I'm surprised Commander Vimes allows it.
There is a werewolf in the watch, yes, said Angua.
I knew there was something odd about Constable Visit.
Angua's jaw dropped.
He always looks hungry, said Cheery, and he's got that odd smile all the time. I know a werewolf when I see one.
He does look a bit hungry, that's true, said Angua. She couldn't think of anything else to say.
Well, I'm going to be keeping my distance.
Fine, said Angua.
Angua?
Yes?
Why do you wear your badge on a collar round your neck?
What? Oh, well, so it's always handy, you know, in any circumstances.
Do I need to do that?
I shouldn't think so.
Mr. Sark jumped.
Dorful, you damn stupid lump! Never sneak up behind a man on the bacon slicer. I've told you that before. Try to make some noise when you move, damn you.
The golem held up its slate, which said,
Tonight I cannot work.
What's this? The bacon slicer never asks for time off.
It is a holy day.
Sock looked at the red eyes. Old Fishbine had said something about this, hadn't he, when he'd sold Dorful? Something like, sometimes it'll go off for a few hours because it's a holy day. It's the words in its head. If it doesn't go and trot off to its temple or whatever it is, the words will stop working. Don't ask me why, there's no point in stopping it. $530 the thing had cost. He thought it was a bargain. And it was a bargain, no doubt about that. The damn thing only ever stopped working when it had run out of things to do. Sometimes not even then, according to the stories. You heard about golems flooding out houses because no one told them to stop carrying water from the well or washing the dishes until the plates were as thin as paper. Stupid things, but useful if you kept your eye on them. And yet he could see why no one seemed to keep them for long. It was the way the damned two-handed engine just stood there, taking it all in and putting it where, and never complained or spoke at all. A man could get worried about a bargain like that and feel mightily relieved when he was writing out a receipt for the new owner.
Seems to me there's been a lot of holy days lately, said Sock.
Sometimes are more holy than others.
But they couldn't skive off, could they? Work was what a golem did.
I don't know how we're going to manage, Sock began.
It is a holy day.
Oh, all right, you can have time off tomorrow.
Tonight. Holy day starts at sunset.
Be back quickly then, said Sock weakly, or I'll... You be back quickly, do you hear?
That was another thing. You couldn't threaten the creatures. You certainly couldn't withhold their pay because they didn't get any. You couldn't frighten them. Fishbine had said that a weaver over Knapp Hillway had ordered his golem to smash itself to bits with a hammer, and it had.
Yes, I hear.
In a way, it didn't matter who they were. In fact, their anonymity was part of the whole business. They thought themselves part of the march of history, the tide of progress, and the wave of the future. They were men who felt that the time had come. Regimes can survive barbarian hordes, crazed terrorists, and hooded secret societies, but they're in real trouble when prosperous and anonymous men sit around a big table and think thoughts like